And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
And it is a very good morning, 5 minutes past nine on this bright, sunny Monday, the 22nd of May, 2023. How are you keeping? I do hope you're all very well out there. Wherever you're listening to us, be it across the Northwest online or on air or across the world online, great to have you on board. We want you involved in the conversation as well. We've got loads lined up for you. We want your views, but also if you want to pass some information on to us, you know what to do. WhatsApp or text 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. If you're listening to us outside the Republic, 00353 86 60 25000. Your telephone calls to 074 91 25000. We've got the team of Caroline and Niamh taking your calls. Again, from outside the Republic, 00353 74 91 25000. And if you tend to email, comments@highlandradio.com is the best way to get us. As I say, plenty coming up on the show, so don't go anywhere. Let's start with a run through with some of the stories that's making the newspapers this morning. And we woke up on Sunday morning to the terribly sad news that a woman aged just 21 died in a road tragedy on Sunday morning close to Buncrana after she was struck by a Garda patrol car. This is the front of the Donegal News. The collision happened in the townland of Ludden on the Derry to Buncrana Road, close to the Applegreen filling station and the Harbour Hotel. The woman has been named locally as Rebecca Brown from Derry, who had been staying with friends in Ludden. Ms. Brown died at the scene, and in her short life clearly made a huge impact on many, many people, giving the outpouring of tributes and grief, of course, and just thinking on her family and her friends and everyone affected by it. It's incredibly, incredibly sad. Reading on here, Gardaí investigating how the collision happened in the townland of Ludden at 3:15 a.m. yesterday morning. No other person was injured. The main Derry to Buncrana Road was still closed yesterday evening with local diversions in place. A technical examination of the scene was to be carried out. Gardaí are appealing for anyone with information to contact them at Buncrana Garda Station or the Garda confidential line. As per protocol, the road traffic collision has been referred under Section 102 of the Garda Síochána Act to the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, who will carry out an investigation into the circumstances of the tragedy. The Derry News this morning. The newly elected members of Derry City and Strabane District Council are facing a baptism of fire right from the off. The 40 councillors are this morning taking their seats on the one council in the north most impacted by swinging funding cuts initiated by the Department for Communities. Derry News understands the Department of Communities recently informed Derry City and Strabane District Council the rate support grant across the north is being slashed from 8.294 million in 22-23 to 4.9 million in 23-24. A cut of 4 million, just over 4 million. Okay. On to the Irish Independent now, and a bit of kite flying, bit of an advert, you could say, on the front of the Irish Independent. Fine Gael is pushing for a tax break of €1,000 a year for workers on the average household income ahead of coalition talks on the budget this October. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar's party wants considerably larger cuts to income tax and universal social charge than in previous years as a result of the record budget surpluses being projected over the next 4 years. The call amounts to an opening salvo from Fine Gael ahead of budget talks with Fianna Fáil and the Green Party that are expected to get underway later this summer and continue into the autumn. Any tax breaks for workers will ultimately have to be approved by the Fianna Fáil Finance Minister, Michael McGrath, who's likely to face an unprecedented clamour from ministers across the three coalition parties for major tax and spending measures following projected budget surpluses of €10 billion this year, €16 billion next year. Writing in today's Irish Independent, three Fine Gael junior ministers, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, Martin Hayden and Peter Burke, argue that tax relief in the next budget has been well earned and should go further than in the budgets of 2022 and 2023. So it'd be about what they're looking to put €20 a week back in the pockets of the workers, it seems. On to the Irish Times now, and parental tolerance of underage teenage drunkenness has increased significantly in the past 4 years, according to latest research by Planet Youth, a wellbeing strategy for young people in the west of Ireland. So this effectively means that we are less inclined to be perturbed if our young people are drunk. Just over half, 57% of almost 4,500 teachers in their post-junior cert year reported that their parents would be against it or totally against it if they got drunk. 4 years previously, 72% of teenagers surveyed at the time at the same stage of their education said their parents would disapprove of them being drunk. So, as I say, us parents and guardians getting more lenient, it seems. In-depth lifestyle surveying of 15 and 16-year-olds in all 91 post-secondary schools across three counties show those who reported parental tolerance of drunkenness were three times more likely to have been drunk in the previous 3 months. One in five of all pupils surveyed said they regularly get alcohol from their parents, while 30% reported having been drunk in the last 30 days. But those are big figures, but let me flip it the other way, because teens get an awful bad press, I think, sometimes. Four out of five pupils don't get drink from their parents. So four out of five don't get drink from the parents, and seven out of 10 teenagers haven't been drunk in the last 30 days. Just to flip it a little bit, I think, is only fair. Staying with young people, and in the Star today, it tells us that almost 100 children called a crisis pregnancy helpline that provides information on abortion services last year. They were among 11,551 calls to the HSE's My Option service, which also provides information on continued pregnancy supports. There was a huge surge in calls in 2022, which increased by 20% from 9,651 in 2021. A total of 91 of last year's calls related to girls under 17, according to details released to the Star under the Freedom of Information Act. Dr. Madeline Nidalia, a member of the Irish Medical Organisation's GP committee, says My Options is a great service when someone gets a positive pregnancy test and it is unplanned and they want to consider a termination. Very often their first port of call will be that My Options phone line. On to the Mail this morning. Sinn Féin Vice President Michelle O'Neill has called on the Irish and British governments to meet and come up with a plan now to restore power sharing at Stormont. Her demands came as Sinn Féin's council election triumph made it the biggest local government party in the north for the first time. Ms. O'Neill said the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference must resume to plot a route to restore the Assembly. She told the media, "It's not a tolerable situation. There shouldn't be any more delays, and I want to see a plan on the table as to how we are going to get back around the table to make politics work." But the DUP's Jonathan Buckley said voters had endorsed his party's position of keeping the power-sharing institution down until concerns about the Northern Ireland Protocol are addressed. I don't know, he needs to read the room there a little bit, I think. I think most people want it back up and running, regardless of their political or whatever background. Well, following a lengthy count process across 11 council areas that continued into yesterday morning, Sinn Féin emerged victorious with 144 seats. That's up 39 from 2019 local elections, and replicated last year's Assembly elections results when it became the biggest party at Stormont. The DUP reinforced its position as the dominant unionist force with 122 seats. That matches its 2019 haul. Now, I don't have a dog in the race, but I wouldn't see sort of standing still necessarily an endorsement. But anyway, be that as it may. Okay, on to lighter matters now. And Patrick Kielty is the new host of The Late Late Show. They made a quick announcement. And from what I've seen online, the absolute majority of people think that he's the right choice for the job. And not only that, I did note quite a few comments from people that have stopped watching The Late Late Show, saying they're going to start watching it again with Patrick Kielty at the helm. Well, Patrick Kielty says he'll change his phone number when requests for tickets for The Late Late Toy Show start. The County Down man has been confirmed as the next presenter of The Late Late Show and will replace Ryan Tubridy in September when the new season starts. The 52-year-old said, "I can't wait to get started on one of the greatest jobs in television," he added. He was overwhelmed by all the messages he's received since RTE confirmed the news on Saturday. Now, I'm not sure if it's an anti-Northern Ireland or North of Ireland sentiment, but I did note, I don't buy newspapers, but I did see an article from a columnist in one of the weekend papers who questioned if, because he's living in Northern Ireland, if he'd have his finger on the pulse sufficiently to be able to do the show. Now, I don't watch The Late Late much, but I did watch it on Friday just out of curiosity. And I don't think Ryan Tuberty has his finger on the pulse. This is, he's probably a lovely person, okay? And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't be into sort of pile-ons or criticising people for the sake of criticising it. It's just the job side of it, right? He's probably a lovely, lovely person. But he is not very well informed on pretty much all the topics he talked about on the show on the show on Friday. So I would say, and he's got his interests in reading and American politics and stuff like that, but he does not have his finger on the pulse of what's going on in Ireland, to some extent, I think. And as I say, that's not a personal criticism of him. I'm sure he comes across as a very, very nice person. I would imagine Patrick Kilty, perhaps, although insulated by wealth, is far more likely to have his finger on the pulse. I just thought it was a ridiculous comment from a commentator, because you'd have to be sitting there thinking, well, what can I come up with negatively about this person? And that, of all the things to pick, to me, I thought was really quite remarkable. Big disappointment for Katie Taylor at the weekend and her fans. Not a great surprise to me, to be honest with you. I thought she was going to lose. I didn't want her to lose, of course, but she was in against a bigger, younger, stronger fighter. And then listeners on Thursday would have hear me suggest that she was not going to win this one. That being said, and it should be put into context, of course, Katie Taylor is still a unified champion at her own weight. She's literally a unified champion. It's a fantastic achievement, and she can continue as such and fight on. But she came up against a bigger, better, younger fighter in Chantel Cameron. Shattered Katie Taylor looks set for a money-spinning rematch with Chantel Cameron after she lost for the first time in a professional bout on Saturday, with her promoter Eddie Hearn insisting it's the biggest fight in boxing. But following the Bray Bomber's shock defeat, Carl Frampton believes the iconic slugger should instead seek out another bout with Amanda Serrano at Croke Park before hanging up her gloves. And Amanda Serrano does not fight either in Katie's weight category, so it does give her an advantage. I would imagine she might want to avenge that defeat. Chantel Cameron would want to become a two-weight world champion, so she might have to drop down a weight. I would suggest in Croke Park in September it'll be Chantel Cameron down at Katie Taylor's weight for all the belts again, and there'll be rehydration clauses, and I would say Katie Taylor will probably come out on top in that one in her own weight category. It's the only direction she can really go. She can't walk away from a rematch, can she? Anyway, so if you want to reflect on that, anything that was in the papers there, Brendan Devenny's going to be coming on to talk about the weekend's GEA sporting action. Did you listen to the Clare Donegal game? You couldn't have watched it. It wasn't broadcast anywhere, but we had it here on the radio. It seemed to be a game of two halves, although it was only against Clare, but still a win's a win, isn't it? Now, Gardaí are investigating a fatal road traffic collision that occurred at Lonnon Bonkrana in the early hours of Sunday morning at approximately 3:15 a.m. A female pedestrian aged 21 years was struck by a Garda patrol car. Gardaí are appealing for anyone with information to contact them at Bonkrana Garda station on 074-932-0540. The Garda confidential line can be reached on 1-800-666-111 or any Garda station. Now, as is the protocol, the road traffic collision has been referred under Section 102 of the Garda Síochána Act 205 to the Garda Síochána Ombudsman's Commission. Now, the 21-year-old woman that died has been named as Rebecca Brown. Father Michael McCaughey of the Three Patrons Parish in Derry joins us on the programme now. Thanks very much for taking this call, Father. It's awful that we have to speak under these circumstances, of course.
Good morning, Greg. It's very sad for the family. It's very poignant when you hear a mother say last night that her daughter went out and she didn't come home. I was very touched by that statement, and the mother also refers to the fact of how her own mother and I had dealt with the family at this time, and they're a lovely family. Her mother had died during the pandemic, and as we all know, it was a very difficult time for families, and how she'd lost two very special people in her life, her own daughter and her mother, and just to be with them yesterday at lunchtime or after lunchtime her wider family circle and all her many friends standing in the street. Rebecca is from St. Joseph's Church, Whitechapel area, the Gallia part of her parish. And there's a very close-knit community there. And just to see all her friends from school days and through the past years just gathered in the street is very touching. And just to visit the family last night, then her parents and her brother were present there. And the wider family circle, as I say, a very close family, a very good family. And he just talked about this young daughter and how precious she was to them as a sister, as a daughter, as a niece. He used the words amazing and beautiful and how she just loved life.
It's incredibly difficult, Father, isn't it, to know what to say or how to comfort people in such an unthinkable tragedy that perhaps doesn't even make sense or seem real yet.
Yeah, like no words that I can say or no words that we can offer to a family at this time make sense in terms of just their questions, their unknown, as I say, that sense of what has happened here. But again, we just stay with family. We offer them a time of prayer and a prayer of comfort, just in some little way. And we talked about how this girl was very fond of taking photographs, how she was always creating memories. And I suppose for them, the memories just of, I say, her leaving on Saturday and going to Bunkrana, and then this happening yesterday morning, early yesterday morning. And just our presence is important to people. And it's lovely just their sense of being, the company of ourselves and just wanting that spirit of consolation.
And Father, too, in a terribly short life, just 21 years, Rebecca seemed to have so much of an impact on other people around her. And I was thinking too, and I noted as well, just in terms of the outpouring of sadness and tributes, that they were from worldwide. You know the way it is now, Father. People choose to travel. So you had people that are far away from here now, friends that would have grown up with Rebecca that are perhaps, you know, experiencing life in other parts of the world. The point I'm trying to get to is that for such a young person, she had such an impact on others, and those ripples are being felt right across the world this morning.
That was very obvious, Greg, yesterday afternoon, as I say, when you go down to the street where she lived, to enter the home, beside the many friends of her age, of just shedding tears, sharing the stories of their memories of this young lady, and just again asking why or what is going on there. But again, just their sense of community and their sense of offering support and in their own way to each other. And that's so important just to our young people. And like them, they ask the questions of what has happened here and where do we go from here? And just for them, it's just an important of being together. She was a young hairdresser, evidently well respected and, as I say, bubbly in life, I'm terribly told, and just loved that sense of company, that sense of family and the friends of each other.
It's just incredibly sad. And in her mother's own words, she went out and very sadly didn't come home. Our thoughts are with her mum and dad, and as you mentioned, her brother Ethan, and the wider family, of course, and all her friends and everyone who she touched. And lots of people as well, Father, be affected by a tragedy like this, even if they don't know the person involved. It affects all of us.
It does indeed. I had Mass here this morning, and just people are touched just listening to the young life, the young girl. And as I say, they're a very good family, wider family circle, and are known and respected. And it touched the lives of all of us in so many different ways. Just how or what to do, how, as the mother said, you know, how do I move on, or how do I cope with today and tomorrow? And we just take each day as it comes.
Yeah, and as you've mentioned, the importance there of community and those around us, Father Michael, it's so, so important, isn't it, in the days, weeks, months and years ahead. And the local community won't be found wanting in that regard.
Certainly not. They're very good family, good people and good community, as I say, those associated with St. Joseph's Church, known as the Whitechapel here in the city. And it's a very, very strong, good community of people who have journeyed together and have faced a lot of struggles through the years and a lot of tragedy and different circumstances, but again, rally together in a good spirit of kindness and support and care for each other. And that's so important at this particular time and again for the future.
Yeah, and all of us listening today are all thinking on Rebecca and her family and yourself, Father. It's difficult for you and the emergency services as well, and hopefully all the strength that is required is found to get through. To get through life effectively. That's what we have to do, unfortunately. It can be cruel at times, but we just hope that everyone gets the strength that's needed.
It's amazing just to hear the mother say that yesterday, just to acknowledge all those people from yesterday morning, you know, who were there to help them and there to support, and no doubt in the midst of many questions. But again, that spirit of kindness that was very real to them yesterday, and they were very appreciative of that, even in their own grief last night. So they were.
Okay, Father, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. God bless.
That's Father Michael McGaughey there. Okay, we're joined on the programme now by Councillor Jack Murray. Good morning to you, Jack. Now, I'm sure before we get to what we invited you on the programme to talk about, you'll want an opportunity to pass on your condolences to Rebecca's family and friends, that awful tragedy in your area, effectively.
Yeah, of course, I listened to the priest there talking. I suppose it, everything pales in comparison. What we're going to talk about pales in significance when you hear the stories and just realise the grief that so many people are going through today. So just on behalf of everybody in the community in Buncrana, I just want to extend my condolences to Rebecca's family. Just they go through an unspeakably difficult time, and just hope they can get the strength and realise just the level of support, not just in their own city of Derry, but in Buncrana as well, as they try to come to terms with such an unspeakable tragedy.
Yeah, indeed. But as I say, we invited you on to talk about what you've described as an inundation, if such a word exists. You've been inundated by calls and messages and stopped in the street as well by locals who are frustrated by what they see as a decline in public services in Buncrana. Is that something that you see as well?
Absolutely. It's no exaggeration to say I've been inundated. I've been walking up the main street and getting stopped by people going through shops. People stop to talk about it. My phone hasn't stopped. Local businesses have been given out on social media quite rightly, given out of what they see as a reduction in public services in Buncrana. And this is something that people would have been fearful of back in 2014 when the town council was to be abolished. Now, I still stand over that was a retrograde step. We had public meetings at the time. People would have met with a senior council executive at the time saying they didn't want to see Buncrana slip back or services slip back if the town council went, and unfortunately I have to say that is the case.
Why is that though? Because and is it measurable? And I mean obviously people will see maybe the roads don't seem to be as clean as they were, or the green spaces aren't as well maintained or what have you, but I mean, are you able to ascertain, are there less staff, is there less money, has the schedules changed, like is it tangible what's changed?
Yeah, there is no, the staff that we have been stretched the whole way from Bridgend round about to Ballyliffin, so that itself would stretch the capability of the staff that we have. But even smaller things like the mower that we would have to cover the grass in Buncrana. Now, the level of grass that needs cut in Buncrana has significantly increased in recent years as Swan Park has doubled in size. So we would actually need additional resources rather than less. But that mower now is being shared with Moville. We have two members of staff coming across from Moville to take the mower, transport it across, and it'll go there for 2 days. And you can have problems there in that if the mower's been used for 2 days in Moville, it could come back, say Monday and Tuesday, it can come back to Buncrana, it could be raining Wednesday and Thursday. So you've lost a week there in growth in that being maintained. That's just a small example. Now, I suppose the real tipping point that people have been angry about is there's going to be a reduction in the street sweeper in Buncrana. Now, that's a result of the cost of the contractor that has gone up. Now, to be fair, it's gone up for the first time in 14 years, but the budget hasn't been set aside to accommodate that. So they're looking at a reduction in the level of, or the amount of days that the streets will be swept. And in the last two weekends in particular, in the mornings on Saturday and Sunday, the town was just covered in litter. And I was contacted by the Tidy Towns, who were out every weekend lifting litter, but they were just completely overwhelmed by it. And unfortunately, they spoke to a number of tourists who were on Buncrana Main Street in that morning. They couldn't believe it, what had happened here. So again, that's another problem that needs to be addressed. We can't slip back. I understand that we need more money.
No, and in this day and age too, as well, because of you know, we have that instant reaction in terms of pictures and reviews and what have you. If this is not sorted out as we head into the tourist season, which has already begun, you could argue, of course, you know, it's the reputational damage to Buncrana as well, that it starts getting a reputation for being unkept. And once that sort of, you know, I'm on about nationally and internationally, you know, once that starts, it's hard to reverse that. You know, we're going backwards when we should actually be going forwards, particularly with recent announcements of, you know, that big application, 20 million odd, isn't it, for an investment to the shorefront and the leisure centre and what have you. This should be a time where, you know, we're moving forward, not backwards.
Absolutely. That, we don't want Buncrana to get that reputation. Thankfully, Buncrana doesn't have that reputation at the minute. We have a Tidy Towns committee there that's churning out gold medals year after year because of the huge amount of work they've done. And in conjunction with the council staff on the ground have been fantastic and doing everything they can. And since I raised this issue, I have been contacted by a number of members of staff in the council who agreed with what I've said. And we're kind of grateful that it highlighted, because they want more resources, because they're all local people. They're all people from this community, and they want to do their best, but they feel they just need additional resources to do it. And as you say there, look, it's a very positive time for Buncrana. We're looking at over 20 million euro into the shorefront. That's going to include the leisure centre. Like, it's going to be absolutely seismic, the level of investment that we're going to see in Buncrana. But we have to get the ABCs right. We just have to get the normal, like the grass cutting, the street sweeping, because it'll take away from it. If we invest all this money but we still don't keep the streets clean, it'll be for nothing. So
right.
I think we need to move forward. I think it can be a great time for Buncrana, but we just need to get on top of this right now.
Right, okay, so let's get down to solutions then. This is not party political. Representatives from Ryder, and in fairness, in Buncrana have always worked very well together, don't get me wrong, but my point is that all councillors will agree on this. So what needs to happen? What does the executive need to do? So let's start with street sweeping. Is it to increase the budget, and in terms of the maintenance of green spaces? No one wants to take anything away from Maville. So is it employing an extra two or three staff, an extra lawnmower? So what are the solutions to the problems we're talking about here, so that when I speak to you in a month or 2 months or three, we can see if they've been actioned upon?
Yeah, look, it's not complicated. I spoke to the chief executive during the week too, and I raised these concerns with him. And to be fair, now he was sympathetic and was hopeful of finding solutions on these. I think in the mower, Mobile does need a mower, so I think we just need to rent a second mower to cover that. That problem solved. We have that. I do think we need more gardening staff. Like, Buncrana has one full time gardener, supported at times by seasonal staff. But when you compare to the likes of Letterkenny, I think they've six or seven. I think that we were way below that. When you have the likes of Swan Park, we do need that additional staff. And again, then with the street sweeping, we just need to find that budget. The chief executive said he directed the staff to try and source funding from within their own budget. Failing that, we're going to have a meeting. As you say, it's cross. Part of political, like, I'll be working with Serena Donaghy and Nicholas Cross on this. We're all on the same page on this, and we'll be looking for solutions. So hopefully we'll get together with all the relevant staff and try and carve out a solution to this and identify the monies that are needed, because I do think everybody wants this. We just need to make sure it happens. I've moved a motion now that will be discussed at the plenary sitting at Donegal County Council next Monday, and I've asked for a view of all services as they stood in 2014 in Buncrana before the town council was abolished, and as to where they stand today, and if there is a shortfall in these, because there was a commitment back in 2014 that Buncrana would never see a reduction in services and would always maintain the same level of services that they'd enjoyed under the town council. So I've asked to review that, and if there is a shortfall, to live up to that commitment and to fill the gaps of that shortfall. I think that's the least that the people of Buncrana and the ratepayers of Buncrana deserve.
All right, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Councillor Jack Murray there, 086 60 25,000, if you're in that area and want to have a comment. I want to let you know that there is a coffee morning raising funds for Irish guide dogs. It's taking place in the Station House Hotel Letterkenny on Thursday the 25th of May. So it's between 11 a.m. and 12 noon. It's a coffee morning in the Station House Hotel Letterkenny. All funds raised for Irish guide dogs. Now, can you help this listener? I'm sure you can, because you're incredibly clever and resourceful. Greg, I've got a new wooden worktop in my kitchen, and this week my grandson spilled superglue on it. Does anyone now know how I can get it off? Now, I can come up with a few suggestions here, but we need tried and tested solutions that perhaps won't damage the wooden surface. Now, hopefully at this stage, it would just be the laminate, not the laminate, but, the varnish. But anyway, I haven't a clue. Why am I talking? I got a new wooden worktop on my kitchen. This week, my grandson spilled super glue on it. Does anyone know how can I get it off? WD-40, no. Anyway, it's quite serious, really, in kitchen top terms. So how do you get dried in super glue off a wooden counter surface? 086 60 25,000. I know you have the answer. I just need you to pick up the phone and let me know. Right, okay. Catching up on some comments from a very busy few days last week, as you can imagine, and lots of you text in as it relates to the conversation about refugees, particularly and accommodating them, particularly from the Friday panel. The refugees arriving here from the likes of Ukraine and Syria, says this listener, is not the problem, but rather those who are mostly male from other countries arriving without documentation and being placed within small communities rather than within processing centres. Government policy is way too slack on migration, and the likes of Paul Murphy calling concerned residents far right and fascists doesn't help. Hi, Greg. How can we build housing for families when there's people like this objecting the country's crying out for housing? That's off the back of our conversation as it relates to the building of apartments in Letterkenny. Right, OK, stay with us. Back to more of those in a minute. Brian is joining us on the show now. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Greg.
Good to have you on the show. Right, you went out for a meal in the south of Donegal. What was your experience?
Well, it was a good experience up to a certain point.
When it came to paying the bill, I suppose.
When it came to paying for it, we got the bill, paid the guy cash, and was getting prepared to pay a tub. When I seen they had already taken a tub, a 10% tub, I was added a service charge onto the bill, which I thought was a bit cheeky and presumptuous. I never said anything. We were leaving at that stage. There was a band of musicians come in to set up, and we were kind of in the way, and we were going elsewhere in the town. So we left, but I thought it was a bit cheeky at the time that they're adding them now onto your bill.
And there was only two of you, so, and you spent, well... You must have spent about 110, 111, did you?
The bill was 114.85 plus 10%, so it was 126 euro.
Which is not insignificant, because especially considering that you were about to leave a tip, which would have been based on the treatment you got, the quality of the food, that was at your discretion. So as you're reaching in, you noticed, hold on a second, they've already decided that they deserve a 10% tip.
Uh-huh. So I'm wondering, were other people in the same position? Were they top on top of their tubs that were really taken?
Mm. But you thought this was cheeky.
I thought it was cheeky. I thought it was very presumptuous. First time I ever came across it, and I've eaten the place before, and there was never a service charge on it. Now, whether I had a few drinks in me, had a bottle of wine at our meal, whether, I don't know, the server maybe thought I'd been none the wiser.
And do you know, and this is, we're speaking after the fact and you hadn't come across this before, but do you know sometimes in small writing across the bottom of a menu, it can say, plus a 10% service charge, or, you know yourself in the wee terms and conditions. Like, do you think this is common practice, or do you think maybe you were ripped off a little bit?
I think we're ripped off a little bit, to be honest. I didn't see anything in the menu, or there was nothing. If there was a service charge, it should be pointed out to you that there's a service charge. You expect a service if you go out for a meal. You expect to be pampered for the prices that you're paying. There was only the two of us, and we didn't have a starter. We had one dessert. We had a main course. I had an Irish coffee to finish off. Was it?
You must have had a big steak if that was the price of it, or else maybe you had more.
35 euro steak.
Maybe you had more than one bottle of wine, Brian. I don't know. But
just
do you see,
one bottle of wine, One bottle of wine was €29, which was, I thought it was, well.
Okay.
That's what you pay when you're out.
Is it? You wouldn't want me whining and dining you, Brian, because you wouldn't be getting a €29 bottle of wine. I'm not joking. You're right. That's just be warned. But Camille, you see, the thing is for the sake of the tenor too, this business has probably lost itself quite a bit of money in the future, because I think you've stayed in that they provide some accommodation as well, and you've stayed with them in the past. And for a tenner, it's left a taste in your mouth. It's probably enough to put you off either eating there or staying there again. So for the sake of the tenner, how much have they lost from you over the next, you know, couple of weekends or whenever you might go back?
We were staying in the hotel close to the place, and the following morning, we opted out of breakfast, which had room only. So we were going to get our breakfast late on the day. It was a bit of a session the night before, but it was a late sort of a session, the music due that we were at.
Yeah.
We opted out, and they would have got the breakfast as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Up the street and got it up the street.
Well, we can say you were in Bundoran, right? I'm just curious. You went down to Bundoran, did you? Like, have you? Because we heard. I'm just trying to get a sense of do you see any change in the town? Like, is it as busy as it once was before? Because we were speaking to some people saying that they're concerned the nighttime economy in Bundoran is waning a bit. Or did you have a great night? Or what's the crack?
I thought it would have been busier on a Friday. Over the summertime, I'm sure it'll be busy. There's plenty of visitors coming down, holidaymakers.
Yeah.
But generally everywhere, with the cost of living, people are tightening up their belts. They have other priorities, bar holidaying or eating out to pay for.
Well, with the cost of the meal at that, right? And I mean, it's probably around about where you'd expect it to be. Maybe a little bit more, I don't know. But anyway, my point being, Brian, it makes eating out far more something you have to consider far more, doesn't it? That's not like €69 or €75 for the two of you. Like, when you're getting up to the 120 mark, we're heading into real once-off treat territory, aren't we?
Yeah. The price of the food wasn't an issue at the time we were out to treat ourselves, regardless of how much it was going to cost. But it was just the cheekiness of adding on a 10% surcharge onto it.
Yep.
Which I thought, you know, I never said it. I mean, I paid it cash and was going to round off the bill, you know, tell him to keep the change off the bill, which was what brought it to 130 plus another €10.
Yeah.
Locked up. But I seen that and I thought, no, I don't like that now.
Yeah, right. Okay. Brian, listen, I hope you had a good weekend anyway. It sounds like you did, even though you weren't happy with this unannounced sort of a service charge, surcharge. But thanks very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
No problem, Greg.
All right, Brian, take care of yourself. What do you think out there? 086 60 25,000. Should it not be at the customer's discretion? That's what this texter believes. Yes, Greg, a tip should be at your own discretion. Why should we pay the wages of staff when you are already paying for the food? Now, the thing I would say about that, is it going to the staff as well? Because that's another question. And I'm not sure where we're at with that legislation, and I'll double check it as we head into a break here. But you would want to be confident too. I could find it far more palatable if I thought it was going in addition to staff's wages. So it actually was, you know, it's hard to get staff and this is extra money for them to make it worthwhile for them. But is it? Does it go into the staff's pockets in addition to the wages, or is it, as this listener suggests, just a supplement, a contribution effectively to the restaurant to pay the wages? I don't know. What do you think? Get involved in the conversation. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts that number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Right, we've got some suggestions as how you get superglue off a wooden work surface. Set your ears to stunned. That's coming up in about 2 minutes. Okay, we'll perhaps start with the least constructive suggestion as to how to get super glue off your work surfaces. This listener says, don't know, but it'll be a sticky handling. Thank you for that. But more constructive here. Get the kitchen fitter back. He can scrape it off and use paint thinners. Not an easy job, but should work. And this is the one I thought of, but didn't want to say it in case I got sued. Iron brown paper on top. So put the brown paper on top of the glue. Get your iron out. It'll melt the glue or soften it. Now, I wouldn't go too hard. I'd go a little bit first and then lift it off. Just a suggestion. Or maybe, and this one is my suggestion, you could try maybe a hairdryer just to soften it, maybe. I don't know. Now, on to some other calls here. Driving down the Creaslet to Donfanaghy Road with family to enjoy a lovely Sunday yesterday when we came across three motorbikes coming at such speed, racing one another as if they were on their own road track. At one point, the driver of one of the motorbikes overtook so quickly between two cars, he nearly took a wobble. It was pure luck he didn't. This is what is causing fatalities. These drivers have no consideration for their own lives, let alone anyone else's. This was at lunchtime too. We were so shook, it really did tarnish the day. That's how bad it was. And I've seen a couple of instances myself over the weekend of bikes going through. There's some traffic works in Donegal Town at the moment. Must have got up to 80 or 100 in the very short space between lights. It's just that time of the year. The issue with cleaning streets, says this listener, is mainly down to dog fouling and its owners who are to blame. Why has dog fouling suddenly become such an issue on footpaths? Is it time we got heavy-handed with fines for people? Yeah, I think there's a strong argument for it. No excuse. I understand what you're saying, but in terms of the road sweeping, we heard from Councillor Murray there that it's sort of maybe in the weekends, you know, on a morning where it's obviously human waste that's the issue as well. But certainly dog fouling. Maybe there's more dog ownership now. Is that why we're seeing more dog fouling? This caller says, I suggest they don't cut the grass until all the dandelions go to seed. Bees, flowers, insects are all around my garden now, and it's a delight to see. Yeah, indeed. I think it depends what you have sown, though. I wonder, is your... Because if it's just overgrown grass, it can look quite messy. But if it's that sort of, if it's that sort of wild, seedy look, it actually does look. It can look really quite nice. As it relates to tips and service charges, a caller says, personally, I don't see the need to tip. Personally, I don't see the need to tip the likes of hairdressers and beauticians, etc. anymore. Very black and white thinking, but from my experience, they cost their services according to what is offered, factoring in staff time. They've also increased prices due to increased cost of living. I've never seen the need, to be honest. We don't tip shop assistants or carers, etc. OK, let's go to Marie now. Hi, Marie. Good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Right. You use disposable needles and normally you take them to the chemist to dispose of them responsibly. Yeah. But things have changed, Marie, have they?
I was in the last day. I had two bins full and I went in and they took them the last time, but they never came back to me to say that they would be no longer taking them. So he informed me that they're being charged. They're being charged for disposing of the bins. So I rang my surgery then this morning to see if they would take the bins, and they can't take the bins either.
Wow. Right, so you've now are stockpiling these used needles and you want to dispose of them, obviously, responsibly. Are we throwing the question out to listeners there? Where can you dispose of them, Marie?
Yeah, much appreciated, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And is there just a general area you're in, just in case it's geographically important?
Well, I'm here in Letterkenny.
You're in Letterkenny, okay. So anywhere in and around Letterkenny. And the chemist won't take them any longer because there's a cost.
No.
And did they suggest they might charge you to take them back, or they just said, look, we're not doing it any longer?
It just says that they had to charge them the last time whenever they took them off me. And this says, is there any number you can ring to find out? But the place where I usually ring, which is my support in Dublin, their number no longer exists.
All right, okay.
So I can't get in touch with them.
All right, and you said the GP doesn't want them back either?
No, I'm after ringing there before I rang you, and no, they can't take them.
Okay, right, so the question is a simple one there. Where can we responsibly dispose of used needles? The chemist isn't an option anymore.
Sharp
the GP's.
Bins.
Yeah, sharp, huh?
Sharp bins.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I have bins that I put them into, and I close them off then, so they just tick the bins.
Ah, I get you. And that keeps everything contained. Okay.
Yeah, there are no handling as such. Like, it's just two bins.
Yeah. And pardon my ignorance, you couldn't put them in general waste, Marie?
I don't know.
So we'll ask that question as well. Okay, good stuff.
Yeah,
Marie,
you could.
We'll get an answer for you one way or other. Hopefully it's a positive one. Thanks for your time.
That's great. Much appreciated, Craig.
It's our pleasure, Marie. Thank you. Have a lovely day. Take care of yourself. So anyone out there, Marie has two of these bins that are filling up now with disposable needles. The chemists do not take them any longer because they're charged for them to be taken from them. And the GPs are not interested either. They're not taking them back. So there's going to be a lot of people out there in the same situation. Marie seems a little bit nervous about putting them into general waste, which I can understand there as well. So let us know, what does she do with these needles in the Letterkenny area or anywhere for that matter? 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000. Or if you prefer just to give us a call and chat to Caroline or Niamh, the number there is 074 91 25000, 074 91 25000. Right, coming a little later on in the programme, well, we've got plenty coming up for you. Brendan Devaney's going to be in, of course, or on the programme at the very least, talking about the weekend's GEA action. If you have any commentary on that, maybe you want to talk a little bit about Katie Taylor fight or anything. Hurling, it's up to you. Whatever you want to talk about, that's sport. But anyway, you know the numbers, whatever you want to chat about. Okay, we're going to take a break for the news and obituary notices. Stay right where you are, and we'll be back with more after 10.